The following is brought to you by a generous donation from Canoe Place Inn and Cottages. Fine hospitality in Hampton Bays since 1697. More at canoeplace.com.
Hey, welcome to the show. That's Jim Turner, who's the master of cues. And is now going to play us a little summer music. It's summer. That's why we've got the, if you're listening to this on the radio, we are wearing very fashionable sunglasses. Well, I'm wearing fashionable sunglasses. And Bridget LeRoy.
Mine are so fashionable.
I didn't realize you were in Pebbles Flintstones' will.
Just for glasses.
How would you describe
none,
those?
None of the Flintstone fortune, unfortunately, that they made in the vitamin industry, apparently.
That's Jim Turner in the background playing something summery that isn't close enough to anything real that they'll charge us for. And from a large hot lotion box in the middle of nowhere, this is Air Hamptons with Bridget and Bill, your 1 hour summer rental, and you are not getting that deposit back. Welcome, welcome to summer. We didn't think we'd make it. This show is now
18 months.
I'm as stunned as you are.
We are all stunned.
Our thanks to everyone at LTV, but also to the folks at WLIW and NPR and people who listen to us from Montauk to Manhattan.
Yes.
You couldn't actually do that, could you?
What?
You couldn't listen to us all the way from Montauk to Manhattan.
No, not quite. But I would
maybe
say like
get to Manorville.
To Melville.
From Melville.
To Melville.
From Manorville to Melville.
No, Montauk to Melville.
All right.
Basically. Yeah. And a little bit beyond, I think. But it starts going like that. On the radio.
Speaking of Melville and Moby Dick and some other very famous motion pictures. How's that for a transition? We're talking summer movies.
Yeah.
We're talking new restaurants out in the Hamptons.
Yeah,
there are
lots
a lot
going
of new
on.
Little pop-ups and
sure
some bloody coups that have taken place.
Oh, yeah. But we have some great guests, too. We have Genevieve Villaflor from Sag Harbor Cinema is joining us talking
My
about the
absolute
summer.
Favorite movie theater, maybe in the state of New York.
Have you been up to the Green Room?
I've been to the friend of the Green Room.
Dude.
I get mail there. They do a Monday night off season. This summer they won't be doing it, although they did one in July last year. They may do it, and that was outdoors. They have a trivia night.
And you love trivia night.
I love it till I come in third. It's really hard.
You are a poor loser, aren't you?
You really are.
Well, that's we have that in common.
I contest all the time.
That's not what I meant to say. Right. You cut me off. And then we also have Matthew Kirsten from Canoe Place.
Yeah.
He's going to come on and talk about what they have going on this
that's
summer.
That's been around since 1697.
Do you know when they did the rebuild, like in the 1920s? Eric, my husband's grandfather, was like the head foreman for that.
He may have run into Duke Ellington, Babe Ruth. It does take rocket science because Albert Einstein used to stay there.
Wow.
Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't know that at all.
It's got steeped in history.
Well, they've done an amazing reboot of it. It's fantastic.
They just got electricity yesterday. And,
that's not true. What about running water?
Well, that's coming next.
No, it's wonderful. It's great.
This
you
is
and
their
I have
second
there.
Summer. We've eaten there.
Mrs. McCudley and Mr.
Your
LeRoy.
Husband.
His name is actually Mr. Johnson, but I call him the second Mr. LeRoy because I was married before.
Of course, we are joined also by Patrick McLaughlin.
Yeah, we are. And Chaim Mizrahi, who has a show, Hello, his show on LTV has been on since 1986. He's done over 5,000 public access shows.
Wow.
I know.
And they say almost 14 people have seen it.
Yes,
no,
exactly.
I'm just talking about our show. Like it's got
yeah, exactly. Don't throw stones.
This is what's interesting, too, here at LTV. Is like they've turned it into an art gallery.
Yeah, they have. They have. And that's one of the reasons that Chaim is going to be there, because this show that he's done with Matt Rayner, who's a friend of mine, we've had him on this show as well.
Right.
He's quadriplegic. He was a commercial fisherman, and he did all this drone photography both before and after his tragedy. But he's this wonderful young man, and we have the show up at LTV right now. It's on for another week or so at LTV, so I hope people come and look at his work.
So this is the sights and the sounds of summer. And I always kid at the top of the show about where this actually is, but now that people have to come here to see our work, we should explain that it's in Waynescott. Some GPS tells you to go to East Hampton. And Waze takes you to Flanders. And
no, it does not.
You go to the Duck, and you have a lovely time there.
I love the Duck. Mm. We need a Duck in Waynescott.
Do not
right?
Do not try the pate. not. You would think there it would be good.
And we also have with us Jim Turner, our one-man band.
The sounds of summer from Jim Turner.
Thank you.
Jim, how's the summer going for you so far?
Crazy, baby.
Okay.
Wow, he's such a hep musician. He says things like, baby, next thing you're going to be saying, far out, man.
That
right?
was great. We'll edit that out. Anyway,
we love it, Jim.
Let's talk about the movies that are happening
yes.
and introduce our first guest today.
Yes.
Because you mentioned her, and I love Sag Harbor Cinema, which almost went away.
Yes, it was a
fire.
Huge fire in 2016,
then,
December of 2016.
That fire, was that over protest at how uncomfortable the chairs were? I think it was. No, it was an accidental fire.
No.
It was a terrible.
But anyway, yeah, when did you start? When did you
Genevieve
join
Belafleur the... joins us. She's the executive director of the
Sag Harbor Cinema. Welcome, Genevieve,
wow.
which is my mother's name.
Oh.
Are you a Jen?
To some people.
To some people. Not to you, Bridget LeRoy, who I am.
She's also a gift bearer. She brought us all kinds of gifts that you can't see.
So much swag.
But we love swag. It's like going to the Oscars.
This great stuff for summer.
With a candle.
Yeah, this is fantastic. Thank you so much.
Did the candle, by the way, when you light this candle, it smells like hot buttered popcorn.
Oh, that would be so cool. But it doesn't. It smells like something much better. Ooh, it smells so good. And Hampton's Hand Poured.
Get on that. They should do that.
But Hampton's Hand Poured does these amazing candles. You know, Brittany Torres and her company. She's just wonderful. So she's a
little bit. Later on the show, we're going to do a thing called Go Rent or No. Should you go see a new movie this summer that's in theaters, which of course is what you would advocate for, should
yes.
you wait for it to stream, or have you no interest whatsoever? So let's talk about what you think the highlights are this summer at Sag Harbor.
So as I mentioned, our artistic director can't join me today, but she gave me her notes.
At this performance, the part of, okay.
So go ahead, say her name. Julia?
Julia Daniello Vallon.
Now, let me just say that if my grandfather or great-grandfather was around, they would make her change her name to, like, Julia Lamb. So
yeah.
it would be much easier.
Well,
so,
I do actually have a
Hollywood.
Friend who was Julia in the Italian spelling and then became Julia in the American spelling.
And no one knew unless they looked at it
exactly.
written down.
But then
exactly
her parents called her the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, so she gave you a list of stuff that
was
going on.
So, you know, we are going to be coming off of, you're going to
We're talking about the summer.
You're talking about June, right?
Yeah.
June, July. You can go beyond June, but yeah.
We just opened the Mad Max Furiosa.
Right.
Yeah.
How's that doing? No, I'm kidding. We pre-taped the show, so we don't know, but that's expected to be one of the big summer,
we're excited.
Early summer blockbusters.
Absolutely, so we're excited by that.
That's great.
And the Japanese director, Ryusuke Hamaguchi, that's the best I can do.
That's pretty good.
He actually has a new film called Evil Does Not Exist. And I don't know if you remember, but he also had Drive My Car.
Sure.
Which I think won the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival.
I don't know. You're
I'm
looking at me like I'm
sure.
going to say yes or no. And I just like,
Julia
I'm just like,
know,
this is a
I
blank
know.
Face. No, it's great.
So some of the things that we have coming up over the summer is the Richard Linklater film. And that's called Hitman.
Interesting thing about Hitman is it was around for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think it premiered at Venice last year, and it got all this buzz, and it was Richard Linklater, and it's kind of a, I've only seen the trailer, but it's kind of a funny Hitman movie.
Yeah.
Like wry humor, not like fall down pratfall.
Like Gross Point Blank kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Dark and cool.
Right.
And edgy. And
well, he's a great director, so I think we're all
But on the shelf, everybody thought that meant this wasn't going to be a good film. And now critics who've seen it are loving it.
Now, I think a lot of things were sort of maybe moved or pushed aside because of the strikes last year.
Right.
So maybe this is one of those situations. But I think that's good to hear, and we're all... just absolutely.
Can I shift just a little bit? Because besides the first run movies, which you and I will also talk about, what other, like, do you have other kind of preservation things? Or like last year you did the Julie Andrews retrospective. Are you going to do something like that this summer?
I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah.
Actually, so last year
we
did.
Julie Andrews.
she's wonderful.
Which, by the way,
supporter,
if you don't know, is.
That's my name drop jar. Okay, go ahead.
I think you mentioned preservation. We won't do that until November, but that's something that we do every year, and I can't believe it. It's going to be our fourth edition. We just started our third year of full-time programming. We're open 365 days a year. And so we've got films, we've got events, we've got all kinds of things, trivia night, as you mentioned, happening at the cinema. And one of the things that is coming up, and she started it actually already back in April, we have 100 years of Columbia Pictures. It's their 100-year anniversary. Last year it was Warner Brothers.
Right. Yeah.
So all throughout the summer, and even maybe even into the fall, she's going to be showing, we're going to be showing Columbia films and honoring their 100-year anniversary. So in between all the big blockbusters and the first-run films, you know, you can check out some of the Columbia pictures that are coming
out. It is kind of a Jekyll and Hyde theater because they have the first-run stuff, and then they have all a little upstairs theater.
Yeah, the art house stuff.
Where you can see a black-and-white 1969 Jewish mobster film, which was called
How
The
many
Plot
of
Against
those?
Harry.
What was it called?
The Plot Against Harry. Or
okay. Yeah, that was a restored film. Yeah,
phenomenal. Yeah. Just so like cool. Otherwise you would have to see at home on TCM if they ever showed up, but they get lots of cool stuff like that, and they do a children's series too, which I assume you're going to do also.
Absolutely.
Summer.
We do a children's series every summer, and actually throughout the year, Saturday and Sunday, roughly around 11 a.m. in the morning. And, you know, we have this particular week, we have Young Sherlock Holmes.
I love that movie. Oh, my God.
From the 80s.
I love that movie. Then, that's one of my favorites.
Then, I saw that in it was 85, wasn't it? In Los Angeles, and I went to one of the previews.
Yeah.
It wasn't a premiere. And I just remember coming out. It was the first time this has ever happened. I got up when the credits were rolling.
Yeah.
And the ushers were standing at the door going, go back inside.
Yeah.
You're going to want to see
what's
going to happen at the very
end.
There's
a closer.
And this was way
closer.
Before Marvel started doing all of those little teases at the end. And I'm like, what do you mean? And I said to my friend, what a cheap trick to get people to watch all the credits.
Right, but they did.
And then there was this big reveal at the end of Young Frank.
Young Sherlock Holmes. But also, when you mentioned Columbia, that also reminded me another old memory, is that some of the movies where the Columbia Pictures woman would like do something. So the first one I remember is Thank God It's Friday.
Oh, where she stepped
out. Yeah, she starts dancing, right? The Last Dance.
That's Joanna Langfield, by the way, the critic. No, but it looks just like her. I used to yell that at screenings.
And Men in Black, she has on the dark glasses.
Right.
Those are, you know, I love it when
yeah,
they do
years,
fun things.
Yeah, for years you couldn't screw with those logos.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, the WB
like MGM
logo
with
is
the little kitty for Mary Tyler Moore.
Right,
of,
right.
You know.
Big lie.
So the
Columbia films throughout the summer. Right. And then one of the things she's actually putting together later in the summer is a film retrospective of Julian Schnabel's films. And Julie is our development director.
Yeah, right.
So
lots
really,
of too many J's.
But she's organizing that.
I know you're a G, but still.
She's organizing that with Mr. Schnabel himself.
Oh, wonderful.
So, and you know,
can we expect him to drop by and maybe
probably
do a Q&A?
But yeah, you know, just like earlier in the spring here, we had James Hamilton come, and he's a photographer that lives here in East Hampton. Worked for the Village Voice for a long time. We had an exhibit of his photographs, which were fantastic, on the third floor. And so we're making use of our exhibition space as well on the third floor. So
it's just year round. So it's going to be a really busy summer for you guys.
And what's there now is an exhibition of what we're calling, curated by Bob Rubin, who lives here in Waynescott.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So it's his collection of artifacts and all kinds of
movie memorabilia.
Yeah,
oh,
from he's an incredible collector and curator. So he put together actually this exhibition, which you'll see on the third floor of the cinema.
So you find these hoarders, you go into their homes, and you say, "Let's take some of this out and bring it to us."
I mean, I will say that, you know, James Hamilton, this is only the second exhibition he'd had of his photographs, and they're fantastic. There's like everybody from Maggie Cheung to Alfred Hitchcock. You know, so
that's amazing.
There's amazing people out
here. I want to say, not to make this too much of a commercial with the Zia Carver, but really this is what cinema should be doing in every
country, especially when you have to preserve
every
the memory
town.
Of stuff. Yeah.
Because, you know, fewer and fewer people are going to the theater.
Yeah.
And I know that that's upsetting to all the theater owners, large and small. And if they had some of the special things that you're doing, an easier trivia game, for example.
He had to slip that in.
Gallery showings and stuff. I think that would help get people
I think
more.
For us, it's, you know, we're about being here and the community. The building itself is so iconic with the Sag Harbor sign. Actually, if you'll notice, there's nowhere it says cinema. Some people think it's like the visitor center, that kind of thing, and they come to movies. But yeah.
That's smart. They wander in, you sell them a ticket and some popcorn.
They smell the popcorn.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, but it's you know, there's so many things around community, and we have such a rich, you know, population to pull from.
And you have your gala, your summer party coming up in August,
so
is it?
A couple big fundraisers for us is June 30th, we're having our casino night. It's the second one that we're having at the cinema. And we'll have poker tables, we'll have roulette wheels and stuff on the terrace and things like that. And that's on, I think, June 30th. Did I already say that?
Okay.
And then on August 17th is our big annual benefit at the Bridgehampton Tennis and Surf Club.
Great.
And it's our biggest fundraising event of the year, and you know, right now, pretty soon we're going to open up to. Oh, sorry, you'll have to edit that one out.
Right,
but we'll, you know, the tickets are on our website.
Okay.
Because right now we have early bird, but
yeah.
Okay, we'll just pick it up from then. Just go to our website.
You can
and
go to
your
website. Yeah, you can
go to the website. So what is what? Yeah, I was going to say. I'm sorry. What is your website if people want to get tickets or find out more?
Yeah, it's sagharborcinema.org.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. Well, it's wonderful.
A 501(c), so
correct.
All your donations
all
are, every time you buy popcorn, you can take it as a tax deduction.
No, not you that. Cannot. Anyway, Genevieve Villaflor from the Sag Harbor Cinema, thank you so much for joining us. We're looking forward to coming and seeing all stuff this summer.
What? I'm going to see one of my favorite movies. I'm going to tip it a little. The great Yellowstone brains behind all of that, Kevin Costner, coming out with 2 movies. So we'll explain a little more about that when you and I do our picks and pans of the summer.
Well, let's do that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're ready to go. Thank you, Genevieve.
Absolutely.
Ooh, right.
Something to look forward to. Thank you.
So I think we should do that. Wait, this is going to be an edit point. I'm really sorry. I think we should do that at the end. We should wait. Do you want to do a pickup from that?
Yeah, hold on. Sorry.
Do you want to do a pickup from that? Because we're gonna tease and bring.
Repeat that thing I just did, and you'll cue me when it starts.
Yeah, is that okay in the control room?
Is there anyone? Sorry, guys. And stop the camera.
Yeah, come on in and have a seat.
Come on in.
Yeah.
So we'll just do a pickup, and I'll tease.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry, Zach.
And
thanks.
You tell us when to start.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks a lot. Thanks for our swag.
Yeah, I love the swag. Thank you so much.
What swag did you bring?
I have my pen.
Yeah, right. Yes. Sour grapes. Thanks. Let us know when
you're
ready.
Just got to give us a count in. Jody, where are you, buddy?
Give me 1 sec.
Yeah, okay. We got to reset.
I'll take a cue. Minutes. Thank you.
A
minute.
As long as they know the times and Jody knows the times, you don't have to reset the. Oh, well, they stopped it. Okay, great.
Thanks, guys.
I'm ready if you guys are.
I am also ready.
Thank you.
And in 3, 2, 1.
Our thanks to Genevieve Villaflor. She is the executive director at Sag Harbor Cinema. And it really is, they have the best sight, the best sound, the best everything. It's like, I wish all theaters were that good. Then people would go to the movie.
Yeah, it's fun.
Hey, listen, we're going to talk now with someone else who's very busy this summer.
Matthew Kirsten, who's the new GM at Canoe Place, right?
Yeah, we've been talking about Canoe Place. They're obviously one of our sponsors. We're told about that part. But he's a great addition to this place because this is their second summer, their second season back after the major renovation. Matthew, welcome. He joins us. Here, but
thanks,
we're lucky
Jim.
To have him because he's so busy down at Canoe Place. Yeah. But before he was at Canoe Place, he was running the Carlisle Hotel.
Oh my gosh! Well, excuse
me. Not strange to we'd be dropping money into the name dropping jar constantly.
Well, my grandfather used to stay at the Carlisle, Carlisle or the St. Regis. Those were his two. So
we worked at both.
Oh, did you?
Love that.
You're too
Matthew,
young.
Matthew, welcome. Also, the
morning. Do you remember him?
Yes.
What are they going to do with that building? That's been shuttered for a couple of years.
We're still waiting to see.
Oh, wow,
talk about iconic New York. That one, fantastic. You walk into that lobby and it's just your jaw drops.
That wasn't IM Pei, but it was IM Pei.
It was, absolutely. And that restaurant, so beautiful and big. The ceilings were so tall and it was so light.
We used to smoke cigars in that bar.
Gross. So it was you. You're the one that put me off my food. Of course.
They say it's going to be condominiums, but that's not the point.
No.
The point is you're here now.
Yes, I am.
It was a big move, and we're happy to have you out. It
certainly was. Yeah. 14 years in New York City.
Wow. Fred, where were you before that?
I grew up in upstate New York.
Oh, yeah.
Upstate, depending on who you ask. Putnam County, New York.
Okay.
Went to school at Niagara University and then have been in New York since 2010.
Wanted to be an innkeeper? When your parents, friends would come over and they were staying, would you greet them at the door and say...
Making sure everybody had a drink.
I had a bellboy.
I had my bar set up in the basement, serving drinks at like 7 or 8. I don't think that's legal.
In
but
sippy
making
cups?
Sure, yes, making sure everybody was happy. So I think it was a logical transition to do this.
Wow, that's great. And
hospitality was an early avocation.
It was it, yeah. I mean, for me, it was... I worked at restaurants in high school, pivoted over to hotels in college, and I've been working in hotels ever since. Which has been great.
What's the role of a manager, a general manager of a hotel, and how has it changed in the last 20 years?
That's a good question. The role of the general manager is to make sure that everybody who walks through that door, whether you're a guest, a paying guest, a visitor, or even your staff, is happy.
Right?
I think the shift in the last 20 years has probably been the emphasis on your team, your internal people, making sure that they're in a good place because they're not going to be able to properly serve your guests if they don't feel like they have a voice, if they don't feel like they have some sort of participation in the business as a whole. So I would say that's probably the biggest trend, when it comes to your team, making sure that they're taken care of.
And do you think that that's different? Like with Instagram and social media and all those people are
kind
of more...
That's a great point. Everyone's a critic.
Yeah, everyone's a critic, exactly. So has that changed, like in the last 14 years, how you run a hospitality business?
I don't think so, because you want anybody who walks through the door to be happy. Right?
Oh, I agree.
It doesn't matter if they're going to be write a review or they're not going to.
Yeah.
For me, the goal is that everyone who walks out the door at the end of their experience had a great time.
Yeah. Right. You know, I owned an inn in New Hampshire for 8 years,
oh, wow.
The New London Inn, mm-hmm. and did a total reno on it. And I had the Tavern on the Green team come up and train our wait staff. But one of the most important things I learned, and this might be kind of a turn toward the dark, but is that there's some people who come in that they're just coming in and they come in unhappy, and there's nothing you can do to try to make a guest happy mm-hmm. if they're just coming in to complain. Which I'm not saying that's something that's going to happen at Canoe Place, but that is something. They do it about this show all the time, but no, but you just have to learn.
Maybe you and your friends shouldn't go there.
No, it's just something that you learn, and you can keep the smile on, you can do everything, but there's some people who just come in unhappy. It's really hard. Because you want to make everyone happy
of
when
course,
you're in hospitality.
But every guest is different. All three of us are different around this table, right?
So no, we're
exactly you're the exact same.
We're like the light and the dark. We're like Anakin and Darth, and you have to guess which one is which. Anyway.
Yeah. But she brings up a good point, though, because you can cringe if you see somebody taking a picture of something in your hotel. You think, oh, this could be a very positive thing that's going to happen. Or it could mm-hmm. be. What's the craziest thing that anybody's ever asked you?
That's a great question.
Craziest thing that anyone's ever asked me.
They called down and they said, I want to talk to the manager. So
I worked at a hotel where an individual would only bathe in Fiji water. So
what?
If this person, individual was there for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they would have thousands and thousands of dollars of bottled water on their bill simply because they refused to bathe in anything other than that.
Is this like a big movie star kind
yeah,
of person?
Somebody famous?
You cannot say. Good for you.
You can't even say whether it was somebody
it
famous
was not
or
not a movie star.
Okay. Wow. Bathing in Fiji water. Not Evian. It had to be Fiji.
And at mini bar prices, you cleaned up.
New York City mini bar prices? Yeah, I'm sure you stayed in the city. This isn't cheap. It's not like $1 a bottle.
Oh, my
no?
God. That's amazing. I love that story.
But now you're at Canoe Place, which has also had some very, very famous people.
It certainly has.
We've talked about Duke Ellington on this show. We've talked about Einstein, I mentioned earlier.
Desi and Lucy, they were all there, but not recently.
No. You had last summer, though, in her one-woman show, Candace Bushnell, because
yes.
she was on our show before she mm-hmm. went out there. And this summer, we have some amazing people joining.
Yeah, tell us
what's
going
on. Certainly do. Jeff Goldblum is going to be visiting us, which is great. Me coming from the Carlisle, Jeff used to have a residency there, so now he's coming out east. Is fantastic.
What is he going to be doing? Is he doing like a night?
So he has his own little mini orchestra, jazz music.
That he goes everywhere with.
Yeah.
Like restaurants.
And they tour.
They play his theme music as he walks in.
No. They play the theme from Jurassic Park over and over
again. Over and over. No. That's amazing. I didn't even know that. So he goes and he tours and he does, so he's going to bring his music to the East End, to Hampton Bays.
And it'll be fantastic. Music. Canoe Place music is steeped in its history, and we wanted to do an ode to that. I mean, and it's received such great reviews, everything from big bands to single acts to acoustic sets. We've had tango, like Latin bands, and it's all pulled different types of people into the property, which is great. And it's allowing so many different types of people to see the property. There's still this preconceived concept, oh, CPI, that used to be a nightclub, oh, it used to be this. So we're spending a lot of our focus trying to change that and welcoming people into our doors. And once they do walk into the front, into the lobby, and you've been there many times, it's just this wow, this is incredible.
Well, just, I have been there. It is amazing. It is nothing like CPI. It is gorgeous. But just a little look into the past, I'm going to turn it over to Jim Turner. Jim, have you played at Canoe Place back in the day
before the
reno?
All over this place, everywhere.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to contact you, but I played everything out of this place, from Schiavone's grocery store, you know, to
But Guild Canoe Hall. Place you were
yeah.
at?
Yeah, yeah, we're talking about Canoe Place.
Rock and roll.
Okay.
That's amazing.
And stop hitting our guests up for gigs. Talk to him after the show.
After the show, not on the air.
Well,
Jim.
I'll make a deal
How
with
many
you
times?
Right now, actually. No.
You've got Stella Cole coming, the Django Festival All-Stars in partnership with Hampton's Jazz Fest, and then a great series now you're doing called The Power of Telling a Story with Bonnie Levinson from the Moth series, where
I love
people
the Moth.
It's sort of a TED Talk, mm-hmm. but for people talking about their own lives in the arts.
Well, it's a storytelling.
Right.
It really is storytelling at its best. I have friends who've been on it as well, because they go around the country and do it. So she's going to be leading a Moth series.
That's an ongoing thing that's happening also once or twice this summer. Something always going on out there.
Always.
And some big changes in the kitchen that we can't specifically talk about, but just safe to say, the great food there is about to get a little better.
Some exciting things to come. Can't talk about it yet, but it's going to be a really amazing summer at Canoe Place.
And the important thing also to mention beyond summer is that they're really there year-round. And there's always something going on.
And that's important to us, right? I mean, we are a part of Hampton Bays, which is local community. We want to make sure that we open our doors to the locals as well, provide programming all year round, even in the cold. I moved here in February, which is a little bit of an eye-opening experience for me.
Sure.
But people want something to do year-round, so that's hugely important for us as well.
It can't be that big if you were brought up in Putnam County. It's kind of funny that you were this country boy, and mm-hmm. then you went to the city, and now you kind of are returning to your roots, albeit on the East End, but you're back in the country.
You're completely correct.
Yeah.
It's been interesting. I just spent the last weekend in New York City. After being away for a few months, and I was just like, oh my goodness, like everything's so loud. There's garbage. There's this. It's almost like sensory overload after spending a few months.
Come back.
Don't worry. I'm back.
It's quiet.
I'm back.
Can you
it
place?
Is. It's very nice.
Although the roof is going to get blown off this summer, it's great to have you, Matthew. Thanks for joining
us. Pleasure to be here.
Welcome to the East End of Long Island.
Yes, and thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for coming on, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you during the summer on our other show.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. Hampton's Edition.
That's
we'll
right.
have him on for that as well.
Thanks, Matthew.
Thanks for coming.
Us out with a little Canoe Place, something you used to play there. Some acid rock or something. Because you were pretty sure Wait, Don't Tell Me was on now, you're listening to Air Hamptons with Bridget and Bill. Wait, don't go. We have so much more to talk about in this show.
And joining us
as he does all the time, is Patrick McLaughlin from Douglas Elliman.
Patrick, not Matthew McLaughlin.
Yeah, he just called me Matthew.
Yeah, you called
me
Matthew,
did?
Matthew McConaughey.
Oh.
Like Matthew Kirsten.
I just got you a new gig. You're now running Canoe Place.
Thank you, Jim Turner.
Make sure my phone is on.
Yeah, please do.
Patrick is, of course, from HamptonsChatter.com. And dot net.
HamptonsChatter.net
and dot net. On GoDaddy. He bought both of them.
Woo!
I bought them all.
If you've been listening to the show, you know that a lot of things are happening this summer.
I do. And if you've read Hampton's Chatter, you know a lot of things are happening.
Hey, you have something about the restaurant. There's a restaurant
shakeup. Yeah, I did something, but, you know, apparently the New York Post did it, but I think they copied me, but that's just a story. But what's interesting about Young Sherlock Holmes? Great movie, by the way.
Oh,
right?
I love that.
First movie ever to have CGI in it.
Is that true?
Yeah, remember the glass-stained window came to life?
That was considered the first computer-generated image.
In a movie. In a major movie, yeah.
Well, where else would they be? Where else would there be a computer-generated image? I guess in a computer. You're like, well, the first one, in a movie.
Yep.
Like,
do you know the first movie released on DVD?
No.
The Fugitive?
No. It was...
That was the first
and
one
the only reason I know this is because another version is coming out, or an updated version of it is coming out.
Gone with the Wind.
Twister.
Twister.
Ah.
Oh, but you know what? Twister. That leads us into the discussion about
summer movies. Yeah.
The summer movies.
Yeah, we're going to talk summer movies in a minute, but I want to.
By the way, you didn't do the junket for Twister. I did that one.
Did
with
you?
Bill Paxton.
Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt.
Yeah. Jean DuBon.
And then the cow go like this. Then the shot, the cow to go like this.
I can't do the Swedish.
Whatever is he, Swedish or Norwegian? Jean DuBon.
Yeah.
But, you know, nothing tops Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Oh my God.
So this, I don't normally like remakes, and we can talk movies too if you want, because Patrick's has a long background in film, but and caught on it in several times. But the thing about, what was I?
I have no idea. Talking about Twister.
I normally don't like remakes or redos, but now I think with Twister, now called Twisters, it'll be something people will want to see on a big screen.
Yeah.
And secondly, the CGI that we were talking about a moment ago, introduced in
with
Sherlock,
Young Sherlock Holmes.
I'm really curious to see how they're going to up the ante this time.
Yeah, who's in this one?
It is Daisy Edgar Jones, Glenn Powell, Maura Tierney, and it opens in July. I did watch the trailer last night because I loved the first Twister. I thought the effects were phenomenal, and I really enjoyed
it. I thought the trailer was better than the movie.
You know, there was that one point where it's like, they tried to get the horror movie thing in where it's almost like the tornado sneaks up on them. They're in the dark, and then they put the thing in like, whoa, there's a tornado right outside our window. And you just go like,
oh my God.
I just
found the whole
premise
of people who drive into tornadoes instead of away
from them.
It was
interesting. And the late, great Bill Paxton, who is probably one of the nicest people we ever had on our TV show back in the day.
Well, so speaking of back in the day, once upon a time at a network called America's Talking, I think you instituted this or someone did there, one of the other producers had something called Go Rent or No.
Okay.
So I thought we would take this summer's movies, some of which we heard about, and some of which, and you can chime in here too, Patrick, with Go meaning you're going to absolutely see it on a big screen, Rent meaning you're going to wait for it to stream, and No meaning there's no way in hell you're going. And so we've already had a Fall Guy, another Planet of the Apes. We're getting an Alien, Deadpool and Wolverine. Didn't Wolverine die?
But they
they're all the same movie.
Another Inside Out, another Garfield, another Despicable Me 400.
And they have another movie with Martin Lawrence and what was
it? Bad Boys for Life.
Bad Boys for Life.
Oh, right. Another movie I'm not even going to see on cable.
So what I want to ask...
M. Night Shyamalan has a daughter, and she's made a movie, and he's made a movie.
I know, he's making another one, too. What is your go?
My go is, and we got a little taste of it, or she mentioned it right before she left, is Horizon, an American Saga, Chapter 1. This is Kevin Costner directing and starring back in his Dances with Wolves kind of cowboy hat, director's hat.
Okay.
And it's what I like about it is it's, and this will annoy some people, but it's two parts. It's two complete movies, one that comes out June 28th, and then instead of waiting a year like we've had to for Mission Impossible and some of the others, the next one is August 16th.
Oh my gosh, okay, so it's a serial movie.
It's like an event. Yeah. It's something to go to twice.
That's cool.
What did happen to the second Mission Impossible, by the way?
I don't know, it's coming this summer.
Well, I'm going to tell you what my go is, and mine, of course, is a little bit outside of the Matrix because there actually is really nothing this summer. When you're talking about me putting on clothes, putting on pants, getting in my car, paying money, getting a seat, getting popcorn.
We're lucky
to have you clothed here. Is that the point you're making?
Or unlucky, depending on who you... Thanks a lot, Bill. Yes. No. But there's very, very few things that I would really, really go to a movie theater for. And the only one is coming out in September 6th, and it is the second Beetlejuice. That I would get in a car and go and see. Oh. 100%, that's it.
Oh. See, that's a good example of something I probably could wait to see on streaming.
It's fine. Well, that's why you and I...
see the reviews.
But this is, we're chocolate and vanilla here. That's
because
why...
Because I find Tim Burton, who's...
He just told the last guest we were exactly alike.
Yeah. Well, I said we were dark and light, like chocolate and vanilla.
We're bridging in joys and minuets. Ballerous and crepes, is it? Anyway,
we'll have a cigar and drive everyone out of the car.
What
a nutty pair.
Tim Burton's directing it again.
Michael Keaton.
He's made some big stinkers.
He's made some really bad movies.
It's Michael Keaton playing Beetlejuice again. You cannot go wrong with that. Catherine O'Hara's in again. It's going to be
Catherine.
Great.
All right,
that's
here's what I'm waiting for to rent. Here's my streaming movie. It's called Thelma. It's a comedy about a 93-year-old woman played by June Squibb. Remember her in Nebraska?
Yeah,
the black and white film?
Exactly, and I definitely saw that one.
getting revenge on someone who has scammed her, a hacker who has scammed her.
Ooh.
So it's ripped from today's headlines, as they would say on Law and Order.
Well, my thing that I will definitely stream and then watch and promptly forget is Beverly Hills Cop Axel F. Again, another callback.
That's streaming anyway.
Yeah, that's coming.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's I have perfect. Opening on July 3rd.
Yeah, maybe. But that means in your house.
On the flight, only eastbound.
Right. So if you want the same experience, just invite a crying baby over and put Sprite on the floor.
I didn't mean to in or out, Bridget. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
That's
okay. I'm glad to know that. But it's Eddie Murphy, Judge Reinhold. It's the same cast. Judge Reinhold, John Ashton, Paul Reiser, Bronson Pinchot playing the little...
Oh, wow. Well,
it's
Sarge.
Yes, Sarge.
Do you want an espresso?
Yes.
I'll get you an espresso.
Yeah.
That was actually pretty good film.
That was pretty good.
You want to know what
you
I want to see?
Yeah.
I think I'm the only one.
Fine.
I want to see the Aliens movie. I like
what
it because the advance buzz is really good. It's called Alien Romulus.
Yeah, Alien Romulus.
And the event screenings have been good. And by the way, I like the first one, love the first one, love the second one. Third one, eh. I kind of like the fourth one, remember? Jean-Pierre Jeunet did it, and it was...
Prometheus?
No, it was the one where she got cloned.
And
they played basketball. Anyway.
Anyway, I don't remember that one.
That's the junket in France that I proposed to my wife.
It was a double junket,
really?
Wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was
that and Meg Ryan and John Cusack and Anastasia.
Oh,
and what was
you
really funny,
to
I proposed
to
Sue. As Roger Ailes said, only a cheapskate like McCuddy would take his wife on a junket and ask her to marry him. But
you proposed in Paris.
Early in the day, in front of the Eiffel Tower, and it was caught on television.
Not the Paris and Queens, you know, the place on the LIE.
I have to do a little thing to Madeleine Kahn there and go, you proposed in Paris? How ordinary.
Okay, anyway, the two movies were okay, but they weren't great. And what happened was I got back to the junket rooms in the Bristol, the gorgeous hotel, and nobody wanted to talk about the movies. They were all like, you're the guy that just got engaged. Tell me about your wife. Tell me about it. And so I put this tape together of all the celebrities asking about Sue.
Oh, she must have loved that.
Can't,
or
don't
hated
care
it.
About kinds of, this is I'm going to say no to, kinds of kindness. That's
really?
The Emma Stone reunited with Yorgos Lanthimos
right,
from
Poor Things,
which I didn't like.
I didn't like it either.
I haven't seen it.
Haven't seen Poor Things?
I just saw
she
it
won
and
the
I was
Oscar.
Like,
I don't, whatever.
I didn't really
this is like a little movie they made on the side while they were making that one, I think.
I'm going to go see Oppenheimer this weekend.
Huh?
I'm seeing Oppenheimer this weekend.
Okay.
You're way behind.
Right, okay, buddy.
Can we talk restaurants real quick? Because I know we're supposed to go because Jody's going like this real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about restaurants.
Yeah, you know what? The old Breadzilla. Pete Ambrose is now running sandwiches out of that place.
You're kidding.
It's
love Pete's
Sofo Sandwich. I hope I got it right.
Sofo Sandwiches?
Yeah, South Fork Sandwiches. Yeah.
South Fork Sandwiches.
Great.
And he has his rubs and his barbecue sauce and all that. I'm sure it's going to be fabulous.
By the way, if he ever makes his white bean chili...
Oh, it's amazing.
It is really, really good.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Okay,
Pete's
now we're
be right
talking
there.
To four people listening. So look,
no, that's fantastic.
Let me do this with both of you. Let's go quickly down in the light. We have one minute left. In the new restaurant, Zero Bond, going to be a hit or miss. Zero Bond
is
that.
Let's see if they open.
Yeah, well, by now they have. And will will DiCaprio come to that one as well? Like
I'm
going to
wait
city?
With bated breath because I want to see.
A French Bistro is going into Rowdy Hall. Will
Village
that
Bistro,
be that'll
yeah.
be a success?
That's Adam Potter's
place,
yeah. Right?
And the people from CC. It's a joint venture if
okay,
I remember
great.
Correctly.
Sag Harbor Tavern is from the same guy that did Red Hook Tavern.
Going to be a hit. That's going to be a hit,
I think,
this summer.
There was a little thing called Monty in the Manor that opened last year in Montauk, and all the celebrities go there.
Really?
And
oh.
It's back. And what do we think about that?
I didn't
that?
Go there.
It's in that, isn't it in that one apartment building that was built in
the 20s? The
Fisher
Tudor
building.
Building. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, in the Montauk Manor, right?
Right.
Yeah. And what was the other
and
one?
And finally, in Southampton.
Well, it's not finally. I have some too, Bill.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jesus.
No, but, well,
you
I,
told
I
me
just
to
want
take
to know
notes.
Whether these are hit or miss. Private chef Andrew Mullen, who I haven't heard of, but he has some of the New York housewives, including Luann, the countess. And also has cooked for Kevin O'Leary and some of the other Shark Tank people, is opening something called Windmill Lane Bakery and Cafe on Memorial Day weekend. That's
where?
In Southampton.
In Southampton.
Right.
Okay.
Well, it already opened, and I haven't been there yet, so no.
So it can't make it. Patrick McLaughlin.
I still like Carissa.
And I have one more, which is Joe Isidori is bringing an Italian restaurant into the space that was Mickey B's Deli.
No, it's
gonna
be,
going
to be. It used
no,
to be
it's
fresh.
Next door to that.
We're fresh.
Oh,
used
we're
to
fresh.
Be.
Where Wild Rose was.
And Wild Rose.
Oh,
yeah.
Wild Rose.
Yeah.
Cafe.
And it's Arthur and Sons,
Arthur
and I've
and
heard
Sons.
Really great stuff about.
Okay, well
it,
that's
so.
That's gonna be a winner.
It's
I
supposed to be Carbone at like 80% of the price. So
oh,
it's
okay.
Still,
well, that's pretty good.
There is
still expensive. But
still, hey, you're saving 20%. Winner, winner, chicken or chicken parmesan dinner. Anyway.
And
I like that.
We're all going to go to Canoe Place because they're doing something in the kitchen that we can't talk about until next month, but we'll sneak in there.
And I will tell you, I love his staff at Canoe Place, and they're generally friendly. Like, great people.
It
like,
really
it's
is
really
a beautiful
place.
It really is a beautiful place.
This is all unsolicited. Yes,
yes, I'm sorry.
Seriously, I said to him when he came in, I'm like, I love your staff. They're all friendly and, like,
yeah,
super
it's a cool place. It's nice that they're bringing that back.
Well, thank you, Patrick.
Do you want me to leave now?
We always want you to leave from the minute you come.
Shouldn't
on.
We get a quick real estate update from him?
Oh, yeah, let's
rental
do that.
Market hot,
please,
cold, what's
please,
going on?
Yeah, what's going cold?
Rental market cold.
But it's been cold for a while, right? Why?
And I don't know why.
Do you think that all the
why.
People who usually rent came out and bought places during the pandemic? And
well,
let's
see
that's
what
why?
Happens in July. I'm serious, because June's sort of, over the past few years, June has sort of become less desirable to a lot of people out here, because let's be real.
And October
the weather,
is more?
September.
So September, October
it's,
is
I'm the, saying people want to rent July, August, September now.
Oh, okay. Well,
because June is so iffy out here.
Do you
if
think,
you think about
climate
it.
Change.
And how would LTB be as a bed and breakfast?
I heard the police department uses this as a holding tank on the weekends.
They wouldn't
and
have
then,
to do much.
And then if they really want to torture them, they make them watch reruns of Weekend Live.
Oh, thank you. We're going to be back with Weekend
that,
Live.
Thanks for that plug.
Yeah,
let's play Patrick McLaughlin off on that.
Play him
get
off.
Out of here.
Jim
get
Turner, some great real estate music. On a balmy weekend day, this is your oasis of tranquility. Oh, who are we kidding? We're annoying. Get over it. This is Air Hamptons with Bridget and Bill.
And we're still here. 18 months or whatever we've been doing this show and the Weekend Live Hamptons.
All the letter writing you've done to try and get us kicked off, it hasn't worked.
Hasn't worked. We're still here.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. Hey, who's coming up next? No, I'm talking to you.
I know, but I'm listening to Jim for a second. Jeez Louise. We have Chaim Mizrahi. Now, Chaim has been, this is amazing, doing his show, Hello, Hello, since 1986?
The Hello, Hello show since
1998.
But from 86 to 98, I did the night tapes here.
Night tapes.
Yeah.
So
we were at LTB with Frasier in the very beginning.
Yes.
All
the
very
beginning. Yeah. And you've been doing...
I wanted to just mention something about the CPI.
Yeah.
I remember the days of Jim Chapin when he used to play in the patio there and host all the drummers, let all the drummers come and join in Saturday nights.
Oh, it was like a
Jim Turner did? This Jim?
No, Jim Chapin.
Oh, Jim Chapin.
Yeah,
oh, not
the
you.
Legendary.
I played with Jim.
I did an underground documentary with him vis-a-vis LTV.
Oh, really?
But anyway,
that's great.
I should mention.
Well, it looks a lot nicer these days.
Yeah, I know.
But you have a lot
what a
of
weather meter will do.
Right. You have a lot of history at LTV. How many shows have you taped approximately?
5,500.
That's a lot of shows. Can you imagine, Jim? Whatever your name is, Bill.
Not this performance. The part of Jim is played by Bill McCoy.
Oh, my God.
We don't rehearse. I don't know if that's at all.
I welcome it. I never
No,
rehearse.
every word is so planned out. We make it seem effortlessly. That's so, everything.
You
is
can
just
ask him. We just did a one-hour show. We didn't
yes, know. Yes, we awesome. Did.
How'd that go?
It was good. It aired a month ago at this point.
Okay.
So May 1st.
I loved it then.
thanks for watching.
What's
You're
happening this
fan.
Summer for you? How are you spending that summer?
Well, first of all, I have my hands full with 5 kids, raising them and nourishing them. Mm. And, you know, with my house painting company and my art. And just surviving the changes in the world, the changes in our community, our personal changes, the demeanor, the daily point of references that are kind of changing like crazy. And just the necessity to adapt.
We're going
to
talk about your artwork in a second, and I know you. We'll get there. But I want to know, with 5 kids in the Hamptons, can you raise them normally?
Oh yeah, by all means.
You think? Good.
Yeah, I know.
Uh-huh. So you've got the proof.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when I had my first kid, I said, "I bet you, if we have 5 kids, it won't be easier. I mean, it won't be more difficult." Uh-huh. Because it just, you know, the first kid just gives you a feeling like this is it. You lost your personality, you lost your immediate vicinity, lost your freedom. Mm-hmm. And it's devastating, even though you're ready and you're willing and all this. So you cannot imagine any more complications in having that many more kids, just because there's nothing else more to lose, so to speak. All your previous life, well, everything that you know about yourself is gone. So, and I immediately realized that I love kids, so the rest was history.
I guess what I'm really getting at, though, is they, in the summer, now we're in the summer, and they see all these city kids coming out, and they, you know, are going to clubs, and they're driving around in Range Rovers.
Well, my kids are very young. I have a 5-year-old, a 9-year-old, 11-year-old, 14-year-old. So they're very young.
Yeah, wow.
So now it's just in the stage of, they're extremely social. They're engaged in activities that widen their horizon. They learn by example from me being a fully active artist, with shows, with studio, with this and that. So they're welcoming the world. I'm lucky in this way.
I want to ask you, you've now been really at the station since basically it began.
Yeah.
Tell me, you always do a callback on every one of your shows talking about public access and the importance of public access TV and by, you know, next door to it would be like a public radio. Why do you think that that's important to a community to have a public access TV station?
It's just enhancing the given, you know, they speak of democracy and, you know, they say it's a no-brainer, you should take it as a, but many people are tired of just hearing freedom, democracy. It's just too vague, yet very clear. They don't know how to digest it.
So what does public access?
Public access set the record straight. You know, it provides you with a stage. It provides you with the incentive. It encourages you. And then if you're not paying attention, it reminds you that it's available and it's constant. Under the surface, over the surface, and that availability is magic, you know, so you can see it. So I have to reiterate the importance of that kind of given, because I do a daily show.
Right.
So it's a given. So that given must be verbalized, you know. And I learned from Frazier. Frazier used to repeat himself, like, obsessively.
Frazier Doggerty.
Yeah. Obsessively.
He founded this.
Point where I thought something was wrong with him. Until I realized he's a genius.
Yeah. What would he repeat?
It's never enough to emphasize, because it's like a living thing. It doesn't stop. It's not like saying, okay, you can become a producer, you can have a show and all this, and people will say, okay, great. No. They hammer the issue over and over again about this availability.
You're listening to Air Hamptons with Bridget and Bill, or you're watching it. If you're watching it, you know we're at a place called LTV. If you're listening on WLIW, thank you for that. But I just want to set one thing straight. I make fun of this place all the time, like it's a big Butler building that they threw up, that three people from IKEA threw up in about an hour. It is not that. It's an amazing black box that lets anybody come in, and I'm proof of that.
Have a
show. And so I just wonder, from your amazing staff and great equipment, and I just wonder, from that perspective, what was day one like on LTV? What did this place look like, and what kind of equipment did they have? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was in the old facility in Springs Fireplace Road before we moved in. By the way, this was the head end, the original head end, when we moved in. And I used to have to steal the show live from a box on the wall. But there...
They still do that.
Yeah, they still do that. Yeah. There we used to... The editing facility was curtains, partitions, where you could hear the... He's doing this music, you're doing your music, you don't know where you are and all this. There was a big hole. Frazier was the anchor. He made sense of this completely out of control reality. He made sense of it because he was there every day. Mm. And these were the days where you would have the clock. If there was anything wrong with the whatever it was aired, mm-hmm. they go to the clock.
Right.
So the clock will kick in.
Cut to the clock! Right. Why don't we do that?
Like the music.
But we screw up all the time if we had a clock to
but
cut.
You know,
it would just be clock. It would be just our show would just be clock. We would change the name to clock.
I mentioned Frances Ann because I can only imagine what she had to go through, because this guy, she was second. She wasn't first in his life, even though she was the love of his life.
Frances Ann was Mrs. Doctor.
Yes, and she donated most of her money to make this place continue the way it was. Incredible support. But, I mean, he would be tuned to the screen all the time. There was anything wrong, he'd rush here. There was no question about it. There's no maybe or almost.
You know, The thing also, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt time, but the thing about the beginning of LTV as well, because I was around too, was that they were doing experimental theater, and there was so much going on, and I feel like that's kind of coming back with the current administration, with Josh Gladstone and Michael Clark, and there's more shows being done. It feels vibrant again. Do you agree?
Frasier didn't like that at all.
Really?
No, he did not like it.
Because I remember they did Raft of the Medusa. Remember the Joe Pintoro play?
Yes, they did many things. But that was experimental. It was underground.
Right, right.
He thought it was too commercialized and it's just losing its identity.
So what was the perfect Frasier show in the beginning? What did he like? What did he try and encourage people to come in and do?
Anything that's terrible.
and confusing.
This show is made in his memory.
Well, I think that as a salute, we should do like an Ugly George episode and go out and find some girl who will show us her breasts.
Try and mess it up as much as you can.
Oh, you're no fun anymore.
Welcome to 2024. Are you kidding me?
Okay, I guess we can't do that. But do you remember things like New York Public Access, like Channel 23? Yes. Robin Bird show? I know. I remember all of that.
I forgot about Uncle Dirty and would literally go down.
Yeah. Ugly George.
Yeah. But there was also an Uncle Dirty. And you would just...
I don't remember that. That must have been past my bedtime. I'm younger than you.
It was a spinoff.
The spinoff.
Norman Lear came in.
Of the Ugly George 2.
Yeah, no, he didn't do that.
Part 2. Anyway, but that was the Ugly George show, public access in New York City, not in East Hampton, was, of course, like he would just give a girl $100, get her in the back of a truck, and she would flash her boobs. And
before that was I came the whole here, show. The city of Jerusalem encouraged residents of my neighborhood to wire their houses to start public access because the city was ready to engage. But he said, until then, you can wire yourselves and have your own kind of underground public access. It was out of this world.
So there was a TV channel in every living room?
We were wired, and we were like doing shows from houses and then aired to the other houses.
Wow.
It was crazy. It was unbelievable.
Well, Bridget, can I say something really
quick? Yeah, please. Jim Turner piping up.
Frasier Daugherty's dear friend of mine. My band played for his wedding. I did many things with Haim there, with Haim on percussion. Frasier had filmed me performing there. He came to some of my concerts at Guildhall and filmed those things. And I had a dear relationship with Frasier and with Haim. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you for contributing that. And I told Haim that...
This heartfelt moment is brought to you by Canoe Place.
That for Frasier's 80th birthday, and of course he was over 100 when he passed...
101,
last year, or late last year. But for his 80th birthday, Eric and I sent him a pogo stick from New Hampshire. He loved that. Yeah. Everybody has a great Frasier story. He was such a character.
Wait, did he have a pogo stick?
No, it was funny because he was 80. Who's going to get on a pogo stick? Never mind. Yeah, I'm not. He was no pogo stick for you on your 80th birthday.
You know that he's the one that gave me the first big chance to do my large scale in Studio 3. Uh-huh. Before the balcony was open, it wasn't close to the second floor. So I dropped all these huge paintings from there. And he was so supportive, so loving, so understanding, you know. And he didn't come across like he's doing you a favor, you know, it was just like a part of the equation.
We should tell people that now, this summer, and it's been starting through the winter, but they're turning it into an art gallery. They're getting art lighting in the hallways. I just learned today.
And Haim has been kind enough to be really knocked out by the artwork of Matt Rayner, which is up for another week or so. And we're just so grateful that you're part of this community and that long live public access.
26 years with this show. Been
26 years.
All summer long, come by if you're anywhere near Waynescott. Put it into your GPS if it takes you to East Hampton. You're in the wrong town. And see some of the artwork that's on display all summer long here at LTV. All year long.
Thank you, Haim. So grateful that you could come on.
Here. We want them to come and buy stuff.
Well, listen, before we go away, we wanted to give a shout out to some of the other events that are going on this summer, like July 6th is the Bay Street Gala. August 2nd is the Guild Hall Gala. July 9th, Patti LuPone is going to be playing at Bay Street. And July 7th, just before that, Alan Cumming, another huge Broadway star, is going to be at the West Hampton Beach Performing Arts Center. There's so much going on. And John Mulaney is going to be at the Montauk Lighthouse on August 10th. It is a crazy Hampton summer, and we're going to be here to talk about it.
John Mulaney, very funny, used to write for Saturday Night Live. Last month premiered on Netflix a sit-down conversation with David Letterman talked about he had a drug problem. He has a great line about 12 really famous people who did a did stage intervention.
Right.
And he was like, I really only need four, and I know the eight I could have cut out. And he's just, he's very, very clever.
Oh, he's great. I've seen him live twice. Had a
break up with his girlfriend.
With his wife.
Wife, yeah. And then married, or is now with
Olivia Munn.
Olivia Munn, they have a child.
Yep.
That's a perfect example of that guy didn't get canceled.
Right.
He put all of the bad news in front, yep. Got out ahead of it, and started talking about it. And talked to really anyone who even thinks they know someone with an addiction problem should watch this, because he talks about what it's no picnic.
Yeah. Well, Baby J is his live show that's on Netflix, where he really talks about what it was like to go through the whole intervention. It's hilarious.
Hey, so, the Bay Street thing is where Richard Kind is the...
The auctioneer or whatever, the MC.
And is that going to be out on the dock this year?
I don't know, because it's July 6th.
It's almost too much summer.
Too much summer. Come on, winter. Come back.
Play us out, Jim. Something... Just kicked off the summer with Bridget and Bill on Air Hamptons.
Ooh, here we go.
Now, can it please be Labor Day? We hate all this traffic, too. Thanks for listening and watching.
That cow.
The line from the new Twister.
Right.
The cow went flying by. Hey, we'll see you next month.
The proceeding has been brought to you by Canoe Place Inn and Cottages. Fine hospitality in Hampton Bays since 1697. More at canoeplace.com.